It's Tuesday, September 16th, 2014, and you're listening to episode 352 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 28 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot, and you are getting another Dan solo episode. But see, I don't want you to think of this like a bad thing. This is like a guitar solo. And I'm kind of like Slash coming up out of the water in that estranged video. And I'm just sitting there shredding, except, you know, instead of shredding on a guitar, I'm shredding with my voice and in the process probably shredding my throat. So where are the other hosts? Wayne was free tonight, but that was really about it. I had a couple of the remote hosts, but I really don't like the idea of casting Fear the Boot predominantly with remote hosts. And on top of that, I did a stop at an urgent care clinic on my way home from work, and they confirmed that what I have is, in fact, not bacterial, it is viral, so it looks like I do have the enterovirus that I thought I had, or at least that's their best guess. They're waiting on some cultures. But in the meantime, the other hosts have to avoid, merely some of them do, because Julia in particular, she's got asthma, and my condition could literally hospitalize or even kill her. So, obviously, we don't want that. And some of the others have young kids and really should not be passing this on to them. So you Google what's going on in Missouri right now with the enterovirus, you will understand why that is. But that's all right, because I'm still here with you. You can't catch this over the air, despite what Jenny McCarthy might tell you. And I'm going to carry you through the week with these smooth, dulcet tones. You know, last time I talked about British accents. I said that I couldn't be more right if I said it with a British accent. And I've got something else about British accents today. In fact, maybe that's going to be a regular feature of these Dan Solo shows, is I'm always going to say something about British people. But I heard an insult today that I think only works in a British accent. And the insult is, you Muppet. Now, if I said that in my American accent, or non-accent as it properly is understood, to another American, I think I would get one or two reactions. They would probably be confused by it, or they also might perhaps be intrigued by it. Like, it'd be like some kind of Facebook quiz. Like, really? Which Muppet am I? And by the way, I'm probably Kermit, except with the voice of Sam the Eagle. But it doesn't work, is my point. Okay, so one American to another, this does not work. But earlier today, I heard a British person commenting on YouTube say to the individual that they were commenting on, they referred to this person as "you Muppet." And I don't understand exactly how that's an insult, because Muppets are pretty cool. But damn it, in a British accent, it works. Like, if I was that person, I would feel like I would have to somehow retort and like show that my left hand does not have like a little black stick coming up to it or something, and prove I am, in fact, not a Muppet. Brits, that's something you can do and we cannot. All right, so I got to think about what I wanted to talk about here with just me on this solo show. And as I was working this out, I realized that my current infirmity actually provides a sort of discussion topic that is relevant to role-playing games. Because I am now at about 11 or 12 days of having this sickness. And I've been told that it will probably run about 2 weeks. So, God willing, I will be clean of this in a couple more days. I'm losing that optimism, but whatever. Point is, there's nothing they can do to treat it in the meantime, so I just got to deal with it. But on an everyday basis, I am confronted with certain realities about this disease. It creates a lot of pain in my throat. If I talk for more than short periods of time, it can do real damage to my throat. Which is why on the last episode I did solo, Carla had to record the intro, because I record the intro as the last step of editing. And by the time that I got to that, I could only make these like inhuman animal noises. And she took pity on me and came in, and I had to write out the intro script for her, and she read it for me. So hopefully that won't happen this time. But the point is that there are these things I have to deal with on a daily basis that 6 months ago, and once again, God willing, 6 months from now, will be things that I take for granted. Now, there are other conditions in my life that I don't get to take for granted so easily. For example, my anxiety disorder. While there are things that I'm doing to control that, the anxiety disorder and panic attacks are always a constant companion or constant threat that I have to be careful to manage. And I know there are people listening to this that might have one disease or another, or one ailment or another. It could be Crohn's disease, rheumatoid arthritis, It could be a psychiatric condition. It could be a chemical addiction. I don't know what it is, and I don't want to take you into too dark of a place because Fear the Boot is supposed to be fun escape from that kind of real life BS. But just try to bear with me as best you can here, because this comes up in role-playing games. Because sometimes in the course of role-playing, you may decide when you create a character that he or she is going to have some kind of an impairment. Okay, and I'm just going to use this journal term of impairment. And that impairment, once again, it could be psychiatric, could be physical, it could be some kind of disease, could be biochemical, it could even be supernatural, possession or something. I don't know what it is. But there is something that interferes with your life on a regular basis for a measurable length of time. We're not talking about like a morning hangover, okay? We're talking about something that is really carried with you for a while. And sometimes these come up in the plot of a game. Sometimes people choose them during character creation, either just as a role-playing option or as a way of, depending on the system, I'm going to take this in return for some perk points or benefit points that I can use to get something else. You know, I'm going to be extra accurate with guns, but in return, I've got some kind of drug addiction or whatever the case is. I've noticed that it's really awkward, at least in my experience, to see these conditions represented in the role-playing game. In fact, in many cases, they get pushed to the background and aren't represented at all. Or if they are represented, it's usually when the game master or the player suddenly decides, oh, wait a minute, yeah, I've got this, and they're going to enforce it. And it's kind of the staccato sort of approach, where you're running along, everything's normal, everything's normal, everything's normal. Oh, whoops, I forgot I had this. We're going to have a really big front and center incident with it, after which it's going to go back to being in the background. Now, I understand that a role-playing game could be bogged down by somebody constantly carrying on about this, and most people with chronic conditions do learn to cope on some level with that condition, but they still cannot escape the fact that it's affecting them on some level. And so the question that I was wrestling with, and that this infection got me thinking about, is how do you handle that in a role-playing game? How do you handle these ongoing impairments? And I think the first thing you got to do is understand the condition. You see, I could probably role-play somebody with an anxiety disorder pretty damn accurately because of the fact that I have one. I know what it's like to live with it on a daily basis. I know I could role-play someone who struggles with chemical dependency. Now, while I've never been addicted to any illegal drugs, there was a time that I was briefly addicted to prescription drugs and all done under a doctor's care and such. But the end result was that I had to be addicted to a drug for a while and I had to come off of that. And it was not a pleasant experience. So I understand what that's like. But in many cases, the person may not understand what it's like. They may be choosing to role play something that they don't have and don't know anyone that has, and they don't understand the condition. And I think at this point, it's incumbent upon the person that's playing it, and possibly the GM as well, to do some research, read up on the condition, find somebody that has it. Even if you don't know anybody, go out on the web, look for a help group, look for a forum, look for a support group, and say, hey, I'm trying to understand this condition, and I'm going to be presenting it in a fictional scenario, but I really want to do justice to what you struggle with. Help me to understand what it's like on a day-to-day basis to wake up with this kind of inescapable problem, and learn about that condition. Now, in some cases, it may not be something that requires that kind of research. For example, maybe the game master puts into the game, or the events of the game have it, such that your character is seriously injured. You normally have 100 hit points, but something beats your ass down to having 5. I mean, you've taken some serious injuries. Obviously, this will vary from game to game depending on the mechanic. Maybe it's not hit points. Some games describe discrete injuries. Many do not. I wish more did. I understand why they don't, because it's complex to keep track of. But certainly most games have some way of describing damage to you as an individual. Well, in these cases, you may not know exactly what's wrong with you. I mean, if you went from 100 hit points down to 5, what exactly took you there? Well, it's probably a series of various injuries. You may have gotten hit with swords and clubs and spells, and each of these in a different way. You know, the club's a blunt force trauma. The swords could have pierced you or slashed you, and where they pierced or slashed you is going to make all kinds of difference, and so on and so forth. I think, though, the player and the game master, if they want to, and I'm not saying you have to, some people want a really fast play, easier game, and they don't want to deal with this. But I think part of this is you can add some narrative to the combat. If you take a big hit from somebody, especially a major injury, I mean, we're not talking a little tiny poke from a kobold, but we're talking about the big bad landed a crit on you with a two-handed axe. You know, okay, maybe you ask the game master, or the game master working with the player role plays that out, and you figure out where the injury is. Okay, you know, it hit my left shoulder, and so you know now that your left arm's going to be kind of messed up until this heals, or you get someone to magically heal you, or you go to the med bay, whatever your game system is. But I think you need to understand, even in those scenarios, what the injury is like if you want to do this. So then what do you do with that information? Because I think even if you have it described, once again, it's real easy in the task-oriented, present-minded nature of a player to not always think about these things. You know, yeah, I know that I have this condition that I took as a trade-off at character creation or as a role-playing choice. Or, yeah, I know I took the serious injury, and I'm going to role-play it here, but 3 minutes later when we've got a puzzle to solve, that just gets pushed to the background. I'm just not thinking about it. I'm not trying to cheat the game. I'm just not thinking about it. Well, let me give you guys a couple ideas that I have or found have worked for helping to keep these things front and center. Though let me stress right now that unless this is really the type of game you're trying to run, I don't think you want to go to the opposite extreme. You need to strike a balance where this condition is prevalent, but it is not so omnipresent that it becomes the only recurring theme of the role-playing game. That somebody's psychiatric issue, chemical dependency, physical ailment, whatever it is, this is all that occurs. I mean, look, speaking of someone who has anxiety disorder, mitral valve prolapse, granted not serious things, but these still do not define who I am every second of every day. They're always with me, but they don't define who I am. And you know what? I know there are people listening right now who have diseases they have to manage. Rheumatoid arthritis was an example I gave earlier. I dated a girl for 14 months who had rheumatoid arthritis, and it was always with her. And it was something that she had to manage. But it did not define everything about who she was and what she did. And so I'm not recommending going to that extreme. I mean, unless something happens so serious that it really doesn't merit that, like a person's dying and bleeding out. You know, I mean, the problem's not a cut to the forearm. The problem here is a brain hemorrhage. Okay, that's a special circumstance. But you get my point. Keep this in perspective. All right, so here's four ideas that I've got for helping you to manage these conditions and keep them where I think they belong in the game. Option one is, depending upon the game, there might be a wound type system that forces you to always think about that injury. The example I'm going to give here is Shadowrun, at least in the editions I'm familiar with. And I'll admit I'm not familiar with the absolute most recent edition, so maybe they've changed this. But it used to be in Shadowrun, and I'll just go ahead and assume it still is, that as your damage tracks upward, you take universal penalties to all rolls. If you take a light wound, it's a -1, a moderate wound's a -2, a serious wound is a -3, so on and so forth. For anyone that knows anything about Shadowrun, even though these sound like small numbers, these are pretty damaging offsets. I mean, they really can mess up your day, especially in tasks that are borderline, where you're not a real expert, or there's a lot riding on it. But every single roll you make carries that penalty until you get it corrected, until you're healed from it. So the fact that you have a bullet wound in your gut, even if it's not killing you, that pain is still going to impact how you operate. If you have an allergy to certain kinds of substances, that's going to affect you so long as you are in contact with those substances. You know, this is played out in the rules. And if you play a game that requires a decent number of dice rolls, assuming we're not doing a storytelling kind of game here or a Jenga tower sort of game, you got to focus on this. Possibility number two, and this is pretty close to possibility number one. In fact, I think you could argue they're the same, is the game master may choose to go beyond the rules and apply a stat modifier to say, okay, the rules don't specifically call for it, but because of the fact that your left arm is seriously injured, then from this point forward, anything that requires your left arm or two hands to do, you're going to have to do it a minus X penalty. And so you've given them something they have to deal with. I know Fate has something like this where you can tag somebody. You can tag them with an injury. And that injury, I believe, I think a tag is a -2 penalty, if memory serves, to your target numbers. And so you have to contend with that. Now, once again, this may not necessarily be defined in the rules. It may be something that you add on top of it. And this kind of ties into point number 3. So this is this real kind of gradation between ideas 1, 2, and 3 here. This ties into possibility number 3, which is perhaps you require some kind of a random roll. Now, this should be sensible. Look, I make fun of the Palladium Insanity Table, and in my opinion, with good reason. I actually used it at Fear of the Con as a damage table for a comedy game. I was doing that Lion King sing-along adventure, and whenever a person was injured to the point of death, they didn't die because I didn't want to kick them out of the game, but instead I had a wrist book with me and I'd make them roll against the insanity table. And I'd give these just really, I mean, it's just completely random. I mean, it's the type of stuff where it's like you got killed by a hyena and somehow that gave you a fear of running water. I mean, once again, it's just nonsensical. But let's take the comedy out of it here for a minute. The point is that there was a random roll involved that dictated to you what was going on. So let's take a more serious example. Let's say you want to play somebody who has something like MS. You might want to make a roll, or the game master might say, okay, every morning when you wake up, I want you to make a roll. And based on that roll, you're having a good day, a mediocre day, or a bad day. And if you're having a good day, maybe it doesn't really interfere with your life. It's just a little bit of conversation and that's it. If you're having a mediocre day, well, maybe role play it a little more and I'm going to slap some penalties here and there. If you're having a really bad day, well, you know, maybe there's some rules we can find for this. Maybe we're going to have to define some rules. And let me stress once again that I think role-playing games are an excellent avenue for exploring social structures and ideas that we're not otherwise familiar with. I don't think that you should come into a role-playing game, take a real-life condition, and reduce it down to some kind of cartoony caricature of what that condition is like. Use this as an opportunity to expand yourself as a person. If you're going to play somebody with MS and you don't have MS and don't know a lot about MS, get out there and learn about it. Ask somebody who has MS, what is a bad day like? And based on that, you can come up with a chart that isn't insulting, that isn't a complete caricature of what the condition is like, that gives you some idea of what you're dealing with on a daily basis. Now, these also don't have to be real life conditions. These can be fantastical conditions. There was one point in my gaming career where I played a guy who was an unwitting elementalist, and he had the Curse of Cool, which I think I've defended once on the show. And believe me, I could spend an hour defending why I think the Curse of Cool is completely reasonable. And I think I could do so cogently, but we'll save that for another episode, maybe the next Danisode. But the setting we were playing in was sci-fi with magic. Okay, so it was kind of a genre mashup of sorts. And the character that I was playing had unwillingly been bound to these alien artifacts that operated on a magical principle that normal human magic did not operate on. But the reasons why it did it to him and why it was affecting him in that way would be a huge gaming story. Maybe I'll get into some other time. If I do this Curse of Cool episode, maybe I'll talk about how that worked. But the point being that it was having effects upon him that it would not normally have in terms of magic in this realm. And so I decided that what I was going to do was anytime this character woke up in the morning, or anytime a major event occurred in the game, a moment of trauma, a moment of pressure, a moment of decision, I was going to take a d4 and roll which of the elements that he was under the sway of. And I had a personality template. So I guess you could also think of this kind of like multiple personality disorder, dissociative identity disorder, not quite a fugue state, but his personality would radically change between 4 different personalities based on which element was holding sway over him. I would allow the game master to call for it anytime they wanted to. So maybe I had an element that was working out for me at the time. It was doing what I wanted it to do. And if the game master could tell me, hey, you reasonably need to roll this because this just happened, I'd grab that die and roll it, and it may suddenly switch me to a personality that really is not helpful to the situation that we're in. But I didn't have control over it. Just like I don't have perfect control over my anxiety disorder, I didn't have control over that. And so it may be appropriate to have some kind of a die mechanic that forces the person to deal with their condition on a regular basis, and the game master or player can set up regular intervals at which they're going to visit this. So instead of having these random mountains jutting up in the middle of otherwise flat plains, now you at least have a more plausible, consistent rate at which these events are occurring that decide what the next several miles of terrain are going to look like. Now this brings me to my last idea. All right, so let's say you're more of the narrativist role player type. You don't need the big game reminders. You're the sort of person that can be relied upon to consistently role play your conditions fairly, evenly, to use the same word again, consistently. Let me start right now by saying there's a good chance you're not. I've played with a lot of people who say they can do this, and they do for a little bit. And then as soon as it becomes inconvenient, or they as a player get caught up in the moment, so suddenly it doesn't apply anymore. They just forget about it. Maybe intentionally, maybe unintentionally, but they do. But let's say for a minute that's not you. You're really trying to do this fairly, and I believe there are such people out there. But the problem is, you're also a player. You're not just a character. You're a player as well. And you don't always think about this. It's not like real life where every time you go to stand up, your hip hurts. It's not like that. You don't have that constant reminder. Well, let's pause right there on that phrase. If you have any kind of a persistent condition in your life, but what you have is that idea I just described, you have a persistent reminder. You may forget about that rheumatoid arthritis until you go to do something on a very humid day, and all of a sudden, boom, things ain't so pretty anymore. Or in my case, I may forget I have an anxiety disorder until somebody at work or something in my own personal life or somebody cut me off in traffic raises my anxiety levels. And all of a sudden, boom, I'm in a condition that I can't get away from without the right sort of intervention. And here's where I came up with my final idea, which is the visual reminder. Now, I want to be careful in phrasing this because I don't want to sound like I'm trivializing conditions here. But let's say, for example, that you have a condition like cerebral palsy, okay? And by you, I mean your character, not you personally. I've known several people with cerebral palsy. I've been close friends with two people with cerebral palsy. One of them has passed on, unfortunately. The other is still alive and well. Great people. But let's say I decided to play a character who had cerebral palsy. Well, I've been around it enough that I think I could do it without being degrading to people who have that condition. But maybe I forget about it from time to time. But what if I just put something in front of me on the table? I mean, think of this like, you know, the old tie a string around your finger sort of trick to remind you to do something. Except in this case, you want something visible enough that you're not going to forget what that string meant. Wayne talks about doing this in a different context with Bob the Skull, where if somebody's being out of character or being annoying, he turns Bob the Skull to look at them. And these blank gazing eyes of this resin or foam or whatever it is, skull, staring at them is this constantly present reminder that they need to behave. Well, I think you could do the same thing. Find something that reminds you of that condition. And it could be something fairly simple, like, I don't know, a cane or a miniature that has a cane or a small wheelchair taken from like a doll set. Or you could just find something you free associate with it. You know, you talk to somebody who has, let's go back to my anxiety disorder. I don't do this, but I know people that have kind of security items where when they're starting to feel stressed or anxious, they have some very personal memento that they'll take out and hold in their hands because that tactile sensation is very powerful in reducing their anxiety. Now, I sometimes do this just in the form of touching my fingers to my palms, which I realize some people would argue, well, there's, I don't know, like chakras or chi or something there. And I don't know, I'm not going to get into that because religious topic, blah, 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 not Fear the Boot. But the point being that I found sometimes just that tactile sensation of touching my fingers to the base of my palms right by the wrist calms me down a bit. Well, okay, I guess you can't sever my hand and put it on your gaming table. If you do, please wait till I'm dead. And by the way, it will be an artifact item. If you cut off your own hand or head and attach it there, it will work. True story. But I think you could still put some physical item on the table in front of you that reminds you of that condition. Let me give you a real life example. my grandfather, who is now dead, he had Parkinson's disease. If I decided to play someone that has Parkinson's disease, I could take a small wallet picture of my grandfather and I could put that on the table in front of me. And every time I look down at my character sheet and I see that picture, that's going to remind me, hey, I got to play this. I could take his wedding band. I'm not sure I'd want to take his wedding band to a gaming group just because I'd be afraid of losing it. But the point is that would serve the same purpose. You could talk to somebody that has a phobia or whatever. Let's say it's a fantastical condition. Let's go back to somebody who's got like a magical curse on them. You're suffering, I don't know, a slow onsetting mummy rot or a slow onset of lycanthropy. And so maybe you put something in front of you, a little tuft of fur you pulled from your dog, or I don't know. I mean, whatever works for you, a little crystal. It doesn't freaking matter. It can be whatever you want. But the point is, there's that constant physical reminder that every time you look at it reminds you, oh, yeah, I need to take that into account in my role playing. All right. So there's my thoughts. Now, I don't want to belabor this too much because, first of all, I need to save my throat. And secondly, because I think there's only so much that I can do as an individual and stay interesting. I don't think I could do an hour and a half show as a solo person and be interesting unless I just went on a complete tear and said some things I would probably spill the doom of this podcast, which maybe I will do. We have talked about the day we end the show, and no, we're not planning that. But on that day, we have talked about just totally cutting loose. I don't know. I don't want to think about that because I don't want to do it. You know what? Fear the Boot's approaching a 10-year anniversary, and I think it'd be cool to at least make it that far. Anyway, this is all I got from me, from the desk of Dan. I hope you guys are having a great week and great games. I hope you don't have the enterovirus. And by the way, if you're in the states that are affected by that, or if it's spreading overseas, do yourself a favor. Stay away from coworkers that have no sense of personal space and don't touch objects that they've touched. And hopefully you will not end up like me. And I also hope that within the next couple of days, this will clear it up. And I'll have Wayne and Pat and Julia and maybe even Chad or out of somebody back on these mics. But if not, hey, you'll get more quality time with Dan. And if there's something that you want me to talk about that you think I could better tackle individually, including if you want me to just carry on endlessly about capital ship combat, I will do that. So get your comments in on the forums. As always, thank you for tuning in. I hope you have a great week. I hope you have great games, and I hope you don't get sick. And we will catch you next time. This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2014. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.